Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar and today Masechet Yevamos Daf Kuf Chaf, 16th Perakei Isha Basra. So the three daps we're going to focus on number one. The next Mishnah states regarding identifying a dead body to permit the wife to remarry. Eima Eden Ella parts upon him Memachotem Afo Pisheish Simani Begufu Bekelev. They may not testify except upon seeing the form of the dead man's face with the nose, even though they're identifying marks on the man's body and on his clothing. The Gemara clarifies how much of the face must be identified from what was taught in the Braisa. Padachas will partsupanim will padachas eimi eden. If witnesses only see a corpse's forehead without the form of the face, or only the form of the face without the forehead, they may not testify. Ad shiyu shneim imachotam, until both are seen together with the nose. Abaya, Rav Kahana said, what is the pasuk which supports this ruling? Hakaras panim ansabam. The recognition of their faces testified to their identity. Rashi explains that testimony is only effective with regard to the face, not to the rest of the body. More brings an incident of Abba Bar Marta, who was also known as Abba Bar Manyumi, who owed money to members of the Reish Galus's household. He brought wax and attached it to a small rag, and then attached it to his forehead, and when he passed by, they didn't recognize him. Point number two, Abai attempts to resolve a contradiction between the Mishnah and a Braisa, whether simanim are considered reliable as a means of identification, by saying that the Braisa that taught that they are was the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Mahavai, who considers them valid midaraisa, and the Mishnah is the opinion of the Rabban, who do not consider them valid midaraisa. For a sot in a Braisa regarding testifying about the identity of a corpse to permit the wife to remarry, ein mi'eden al shuma, they may not testify regarding the identity of a corpse based on a mole. Rabbi Eliezer ben Mahavai says, mi'eden, they may testify. This suggests Rabbi Yezim ben Mahavai holds Simanim Doraisa, that Simanim are valid with the Raisa, and the Rabban holds Simanim Doraban, that they're only valid with the Rabban. Rava rejects the Baiser interpretation and says that everyone agrees that Simanim are valid with the Raisa, but here in the case of the mole, they disagree, Bashuma Matsuya ben Mengilo, with a mole which is commonly found on the same part of the body as one's Ben Gilo, which Rashi explains as someone born at the same hour and therefore has the same muzzle. The Rabban hold that a mole is commonly found on a Ben Gilo, and therefore it's not a valid simon to identify the corpse, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Mahavai holds a mole is not commonly found. The Gemara brings alternative versions of Rava's explanation. And pointing with you, the Mishnah stated, Ein me'eden el ad shetetze navsho. They may not testify that a man is dead until they see that his soul has departed. Vafil ru'uhu meguyad betzalu v'chaya ocheles bo. Even though they saw him suffering from being hacked, which Rashi explains means cut by a sword, hanging from a gallows, or devoured by a wild beast. Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel regarding the wild beast, Hoshana el b'makom she'ein navsho yotza. They taught this only where the animal was seen eating from an area in the body from which the soul does not depart, referring to non-vital organs or limbs. But from a place where the soul departs, meaning the vital organs, such as the brain, heart, or intestines, they may testify. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states regarding identifying a dead body to permit the wife to remarry. They may not testify except upon seeing the form of the dead man's face with the nose, even though they're identifying marks on the man's body and on his clothing. The Gemara clarifies how much of the face must be identified from what was taught in the Braisa. Padachas will partsupanim, partsupanim will padachas ein me'eden. If witnesses only see a corpse's forehead without the form of the face, or only the form of the face without the forehead, they may not testify. Ad shiyu shneim imachotam, until both are seen together with the nose. Abaya, Rav Kahana said, what is the pasuk which supports this ruling? Hakaras panim ansabam. The recognition of their faces testified to their identity. Rashi explains that testimony is only effective with regard to the face, not to the rest of the body. More brings an incident of Abba Bar Marta, who was also known as Abba Bar Manyumi, who owed money to members of the Reish Galus's household. He brought wax and attached it to a small rag, and then attached it to his forehead, and when he passed by, they didn't recognize him. Point number two, Abai attempts to resolve a contradiction between the Mishnah and a Braisa, whether simanim are considered reliable as a means of identification, by saying that the Braisa that taught that they are was the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Mahavai, who considers them valid midaraisa, and the Mishnah is the opinion of the Rabban, who do not consider them valid midaraisa. For a sot in a Braisa regarding testifying about the identity of a corpse to permit the wife to remarry, ein me'eden al shuma, they may not testify regarding the identity of a corpse based on a mole. Rabbi Eliezer ben Mahavai says, me'eden, they may testify. This suggests Rabbi Eliezer ben Mahavai holds Simanim Doraisa, that Simanim are valid with the Raisa, and the Rabban holds Simanim Doraban, that they're only valid with the Rabban. Rava rejects the Baiser interpretation and says that everyone agrees that Simanim are valid with the Raisa, but here in the case of the mole, they disagree, Bashuma Matsuya ben Mengilo, with a mole which is commonly found on the same part of the body as one's Ben Gilo, which Rashi explains as someone born at the same hour and therefore has the same muzzle. The Rabban hold that a mole is commonly found on a Ben Gilo, and therefore it's not a valid simon to identify the corpse, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Mahavai holds a mole is not commonly found. The Gemara brings alternative versions of Rava's explanation. And pointing with you, the Mishnah stated, "Ein me'iden el ad she'tesei nafsho." They may not testify that a man is dead until they see that his soul has departed. Ba'afil ru'uhu meguyad b'tzalu b'chayo ocheles bo. Even though they saw him suffering from being hacked, which Rashi explains means cut by a sword, hanging from a gallows, or devoured by a wild beast. Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel regarding the wild beast, "Hoshana el b'makom she'ein nafsho yotza." They taught this only where the animal was seen eating from an area in the body from which his soul does not depart, referring to non-vital organs or limbs. But from a place where the soul departs, meaning the vital organs, such as the brain, heart, or intestines, they may testify. Alright, so now we go to a simon for Daf Kuf Chaf, and this simon was suggested to us by Michael Raskus from New Rochelle. He suggested Kuf Chaf is a cook. A cook. So here goes. The cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, discovered he had the same birthday and same mole as the victim, who had been tragically attacked in his vital organs by a wild beast. Once again, in slow motion. The cook. That must be more in Daf Kuf Chaf. The cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, which reminds us, it was taught in a brace of witnesses only see a corpse's forehead without the form of a face, or only the form of the face without the forehead, they may not testify ad shushneim mimachotem until both are seen together with the nose. So the cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, discovered he had the same birthday and same mole as the victim, which reminds us, Rabbi rejected the biased interpretation of Machlokas and said that everyone agrees that simanim are valid in the raisa, but here in the case of the mole, they disagree b'shuma matsuya b'mengilo with a mole, which is commonly found in the same part of the body as one's bengilo, which Rashi explains as someone born at the same hour and therefore has the same mazel. The Rabban hold that a mole is commonly found on a ben gila, and therefore is not a valid simon to identify the corpse. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Mahavai holds a mole is not commonly found. The Gemara brings alternative versions of Rabba's explanation. So the cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, discovered he had the same birthday and same mole as the victim, who had been tragically attacked in his vital organs by a wild beast. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, "Ein me'iden el ad she'tesei nafsho." They may not testify that a man is dead until they see that his soul has departed, even though they saw him suffering from being hacked, or hanging from a gallows, or devoured by a wild beast. Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel regarding the wild beast, they taught this only when the animal is seen eating from an area in the body from which the soul does not depart, referring to non-vital organs or limbs. But from a place where the soul departs, meaning the vital organs, such as the brain, heart, or intestines, they may testify. So once again, the cook at the Wild Safari restaurant, who identified the corpse as one of the waiters based on his face, forehead, and nose, discovered he had the same birthday and same mole as the victim, who had been tragically attacked in his vital organs by a wild beast. All right, now it's time for four Blabach Chazara. Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. So the simur Daf Kuf Tes Zayin is a barber giving haircuts. So here goes. The barber, that must be on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, barber giving haircuts. The barber listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yadal Amun Beis stated, "Katata beino leveinam v'shalom ba'olam einan ne'amenes." If there was conflict between him and her and peace in the world, the wife is not believed to say her husband died when they were overseas. The Gemara here asks, "Hechi dami katata beino leveinam?" What is considered conflict between him and her? And concludes that it's when she says, "You have divorced me in the presence of Pony and Pony." And when the witnesses are asked, they say, "It never happened." So the barber listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife overheard the judge waiting for a haircut advise a woman on the phone to dress up and look like a mourner, which reminds us Rabbi Yehuda the Mishnah said regarding a woman testifying that her husband died overseas, "Lom einu ne'amenes elin ken basa bochu begadel kruin." She's never believed unless she comes weeping with her clothing torn. The Chachamim responded, "Achazov achazov tinasu." Whether one woman displays signs of mourning and another does not, they're both believed and are permitted to marry. The Gemara cites an incident with a woman who came to Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Din to testify that her husband had died. Some rabbis there at the Beis Din told her to show signs of mourning by crying over her husband, tearing her clothing, and disheveling her hair. These were but held like the Chachamim that she's believed without showing signs of mourning, but they knew Rabbi Yehuda would not permit her to marry unless she showed such signs. So the barber listening to his customer talk about the strife he was having with his wife overheard the judge waiting for a haircut advise a woman on the phone to dress up and look like a mourner, and that it was okay her husband died during the olive harvest and not the grain harvest. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that Beis Hillel said regarding believing a woman who testifies about her husband's death, "We have not heard this tradition except in a case where she comes in the grain harvest and in the same country, Ukamaisa Shahaya, as were the circumstances in the case which is the basis for this ruling. The Gemara explains that before Beis Hillel retracted this ruling, the rationale was that a woman would be afraid to lie in a place where the incident occurred because her testimony could be contradicted by others. Beis Shammai's reply would be she would still be afraid to lie even where she testifies that he had died in a different country because caravans bringing people from that country are common. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a set of keys. So here goes. The gabbai's wife. Gabbai's wife. That must be on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Gabbai with a set of keys. The gabbai's wife, who was not permitted to remarry when she came to Beis Din and said, "My husband, who loved his keys more than me, died. Give me my ksuba." Which reminds us, the Mishnah states regarding to what extent a woman is believed when she testifies that her husband has died. Beis Shammai say, "Tinasav etitol ksubasa." She may marry and collect her ksuba. Rav Nachman said, "But if she said, 'My husband died, tenuli ksuba si, give me my ksuba,' we do not give her the ksuba, and we do not even permit her to marry. The reason is a daita ksuba asai. She came to Beis Din for the purpose of collecting her ksuba." Rashi explains that she had come for a monetary issue, which requires two witnesses. So the gabbai's wife, who was not permitted to remarry when she came to Beis Din and said, "My husband, who loved his keys more than me, died. Give me my ksuba." Nor was permitted to marry when her father-in-law's daughter testified that he had passed away. Which reminds us, the next mission of the Daf states regarding testifying that a woman's husband had died, "Hakol ne'amanu ha'ida chutzma chamosu bas chamosu v'sarasu v'yibintu bas bala." Everyone is believed to testify for her except her mother-in-law, her mother-in-law's daughter, her tsar, her yavin's wife, and her stepdaughter. Rashi explains that they're not believed since they hate her and intend to cause her harm by lying. The Gemara asks what the halakha is with regard to a bas chamia, her father-in-law's daughter from a different wife, and leaves a question unresolved. So the gabbai's wife, who was not permitted to remarry when she came to Beis Din and said, "My husband, who loved his keys more than me, died. Give me my ksuba." Nor was permitted to marry when her father-in-law's daughter testified that he had passed away. Was finally permitted to marry when a single witness testified to his death, even though a second one came after and contradicted his testimony. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that if one witness testified saying he died, and Beis Din permitted her to marry on that basis, and then a second witness comes before she remarries and testifies to the contrary, she does not leave her original state of heter. This is because, as Zuhal said, wherever the Torah believes a single witness, it's as though there are two witnesses there. Therefore, even if a second witness comes and testifies to the contrary, the words of one witness are not significant relative to the words of two witnesses. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. When the tsars came back from overseas, and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring, and kichel, kichel, that must mean one daf, kuf yud ches. When the tsars came back from overseas, and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring, and kichel, and the second one said he did not die, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the bottom of daf, kuf yud zayin on the base, stated regarding two tsars who were overseas with their husband and then returned, if one of the wives said regarding her husband he died, and then one said he did not die, the one who says he died may marry and collect her ksuba, and the one who said he did not die may not marry nor collect her ksuba. The Gemara answers that the case of the second tsar saying he did not die was needed, for we might have thought that the second tsar knows that the husband is dead. But she said he did not die, because she intends to ruin the first tsara, hoping that she'll have to remain an aguna, even though she's hurting herself as well. And she's saying, like Shimshon said, "Tamus nafshi im plishtim, let my soul die with the plishtim." Therefore, the Mishnah is teaching that in this case, the second tsar can still not remarry. So when the tsars came back from overseas and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kechel, and the second one said he did not die, Beis Din recalled how this man was Mekadosh, one of five women with kechel. Which reminds us, the third Mishnah on the Daf states, Kiddush Achaz Mechamish Nashim, Me'ein Yidei Ezi Kiddush. If one was Mekadosh, one of five women does not know which one he was Mekadosh, and each one says, Osi Kiddush, he was Mekadosh me, he gives a get to each one and places a ksuba payment between them and withdraws a coin to Rabbi Tarf. The Mefarshim explained that he doesn't literally place the money between them, but rather he places the money before them in Beis Din and challenges each one to prove that she's the one who's entitled to the ksuba. Rabbi Kiva says, this way we'll not get him out of doing an avera until he gives a get and the ksuba payment to each and every one. A similar case is brought regarding a man who stole from one of five people and can't remember who, and they all claim that he stole from them. So when the tsars came back from overseas, and the first wife said her husband died from eating too much herring and kechel, and the second one said he did not die, Beis Din recalled how this man was Mekadosh, one of five women with kechel. And even though he always complained the kichel wasn't crispy enough, his wives preferred to stay married to him instead of being single. Which reminds us that the Gemara taught that if one grants a get to his wife through a third party, in a place where there's strife between the husband and the wife, it's not a schus for the wife. As Reish Lakish said, Tavu mesiv tamdum lo mesiv armul. It's better to live as two bodies than to live alone. A woman prefers to stay in a difficult marriage than to be single. Daf Kuf Yud Tes. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Tes is a kite. So here goes. The woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite. That must be one Daf Kuf Yud Tes. The woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzar was pregnant, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Ha'isha Shahalach Baal of Tzarasu Midian Siyam, a woman whose husband and tzara went overseas and people came and said to her, your husband died, she can't marry a stranger nor be taken in Yibum until she determines whether her tzar is pregnant. The rest, why she may not marry a stranger? If the concern is that her tzar may not be pregnant so that she's chai to be taken in Yibum, I could say, follow the majority of women, and the majority of women do conceive and give birth. Therefore, it's safe to assume that Tzara gave birth to a viable child overseas, and she's exempt from Yibum and permitted to a stranger. The Gemara says the mission is going according to Rabbi Meir, the Chai Shel Miyuta, who's concerned for the minority. But according to the Rabbanan, who go according to the majority, the widow would be permitted to a stranger. So, the woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzara was pregnant, was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in 1 treifun and landed on a piece of meat, which reminds us. The Gemara suggests that the Mishnah could even be in accordance with the Rabbanan. For when did they go after the rove? It's only in a case of Ruba de Eitz HaKaman, a rove that is before us, like the cases of 9 stores or Sanhedrin. The case of 9 stores is when meat is found in the street and it's not known whether it comes from one of 9 stores that sells kosher meat or from the one store that sells treif. But in both cases, the majorities are before us, and we can rule the meat is kosher and the person is acquitted. But in a case where the majority is not before us, such as in our case, where the majority is based on the premise that most women in the world conceive and give birth, the Rabbanan do not follow the majority. The Gemara rejects as proving that the Rabbanan go with Rove even when the majority is not before us. So, the woman whose husband died overseas and decided to fly a kite while she was waiting to hear if her tzar was pregnant, was embarrassed when it flew over 9 kosher stores in 1 treifun and landed on a piece of meat, right in between the wives of 2 brothers who claimed their husbands had passed away. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if the wives of 2 brothers return from overseas, and this one says, my husband died, and this one says, my husband died, zo asur mifnei baal shozo, zo asur mifnei baal shozo. This one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of that one's husband, and that one is prohibited to marry a stranger on account of this one's husband. Rashi explains that each woman is prohibited, for perhaps each brother-in-law is alive, and they are chayv and yibum. They cannot rely on each other's testimony, since we learn in the Mishnah that one of the women who is not believed to give testimony that another woman's husband has died is her yibimta, her brother-in-law's wife. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman. Zichu Shir, a great day and great learning.